As you can see, I have the first watch today. What I'd like to talk about today, since I get my eyes on, is power. I'd like to give you a little insight on one of the largest and most powerful aircraft carriers created by man in modern times, the Abraham Lincoln, with its home port in Everett, Washington. Its ship designation is CVN-72, like what's on my cap here. The CVN-72 was commissioned November 11th, 1989 in Norfolk, Virginia. I'd like to give you a few statistics, and you'll marvel at them. The ship is 1,092 feet long, 206 feet high, 257 feet wide. It has a crew of 5,500 men and women sailors. It weighs in at 95,000 tons, fully loaded for its mission. The deck is 4.5 acres. I believe that's quite a few football fields. It has 2 nuclear power plants, 4 engines, 4 props each with 5 propellers each. Has 2 rudders that weigh in at 45 tons each. Has 2 anchors. Each anchor, this is the end of the anchor, weighs 35 tons. It has 1,082 feet of anchor chain weighing in at 308,000 pounds. And each link of that anchor chain weighs 380 pounds. It has 1,900 telephones, 4 aircraft elevators, 3 catapults. It distills 400,000 gallons of water a day for drinking and the other needs, plus the steam for the catapults. And that's enough to serve 2,000 homes. The air conditioning plant has a capacity of 2,520 tons. Enough to serve 800 homes. Now for you mothers who have families, CVN-72 serves 20,000 meals a day. They consume 660 gallons of milk, 540 pounds of hamburger, 180 dozen eggs, 800 pounds of vegetables, 900 pounds of fruit, and 12,000 sodas. No wonder they come home sick. And last but not least, ladies, 2.5 tons of laundry a day. Wow. What an awesome floating city with the power and mobility to destroy any city on the face of the earth as a peacekeeper. Does this sound kind of ironic? As a peacekeeper, and wait a minute here, to destroy in order to have peace, I would like you to put on your thinking caps and stay with me as I relate the power of God over the power of this great ship, the Abraham Lincoln. Let's look at God's power of keeping the peace. Let's go back in time, and I'll paraphrase, to Moses in Numbers 16, where Korah and his group of 250 men rebelled against Moses. Moses told Korah and his followers to show up the next morning in front of the entrance to the tent of meeting with fire in their incense pans. The next morning, as they stood at the entrance of the tent of meeting, the glory of God appeared, and Moses was told to move away from these rebels. And in the short version, God opened up the earth and swallowed up the families and households of Korah and his followers, and then brought fire down on these 250 rebels, destroying them. Question: does killing bring peace? Well, I can tell you this. If I had been standing on Moses' side of the house, as soon as I could have stopped shaking, I would have said, Moses, you are doing a great job as our leader. And I'd have to say your boss thinks so too. So I'm behind you 100%, and if you need help anytime, anywhere, I'm here to serve you 24/7. Now you'll have to acknowledge that this incident brought peace for a while. Let's go back to the powerful Abraham Lincoln. When it is sent out on a mission to put down rebels, it will undoubtedly kill the bad guys and, unfortunately, some defenseless and innocent civilians. And yes, it will bring peace for a limited time. You see, the difference is when God uses his power, he can control the destruction to the guilty only, as the Korah incident. What is interesting is when the Abraham Lincoln set sail for its maiden Western Pacific deployment, nearly 4 months ahead of its original deployment date, in response to Operation Desert Storm, the first one, while en route to the Indian Ocean, the Abraham Lincoln was diverted to support evacuation operations in the Philippines, a peace mission. Its second deployment in the Western Pacific after leaving Operation Desert Storm was diverted to the coast of Somalia to assist UN humanitarian operations. The carrier spent 4 weeks flying patrols over the city of Mogadishu, I think that's how you say that, and surrounding areas, backing UN ground troops during Operation Restore Hope, another peace mission. You know, I cannot help but marvel at the statistics of this powerful ship. I was hoping I could show you some stuff and it didn't work out, but it has the ability to launch 2 aircraft and land one every 37 seconds in daylight and every minute at night. The deck of this ship is the most dangerous place in the world to work. Example, a sailor guides an F-14 fully loaded at 74,000 pounds to the catapult. He hooks up the nose gear to the T-bar, steps away, and waits for the pilot to give him thumbs up. The pilot stands on the aircraft braking system, bringing the aircraft to full power, which is probably around 70,000 pounds of thrust, and he gives the sailor thumbs up. The sailor, at that same time, gives the signal to the catapult, and he hits the deck, hoping he's not going to be blown off. And that aircraft, in 2 seconds, will be halfway down that 300-foot runway at 165 miles an hour. And hopefully at the next 150 feet, he's flying because he's off the end of that ship. Now, the Abraham Lincoln, as you can see, is a powerful ship. Why? Because of the modern technology, the powerful airplanes, the missiles, the bombs, the total arsenal, and the crew of this floating military city. You better believe it. Let's take this ship and prepare it for a mission. Everything required to sustain a mission like the Iraqi incident. Just before it arrives at its mission destination, all 5,500 sailors are removed from the ship. Now, how powerful is this ship? You all know it's useless. The 5,500 sailors aboard this ship are what makes it powerful. How does that happen? Training, 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 and more training. Every sailor from the CO, which is the commander of operations or the ship captain, to the lowest ranking sailor on the ship have a training manual. There are hundreds of different training manuals to run this ship. And these sailors read them day in and day out and perform on-the-job training. His or her performance has to be top-notch, or somebody will die. Stress is very high under these conditions. Now, some of you could think of having this job. The captain knows when he leaves port for a 6-month tour that he will lose at least 2 airplanes and 2 pilots and possibly some sailors. That's a known before he leaves. You see, every airplane that lands on this deck is nothing more than a controlled crash. Now, you may be thinking, Gary, where are you going with this? Stay with me. Let's talk about you. Commissioned, I want to talk about those of you here who have been commissioned. Mr. Chagnon, April 1954. Mrs. Chagnon, April 1957. Mr. Luker, April 1960. Mr. Anderson, August 1961. Mrs. Schwartz, June 1962. Mr. Post, October 1968. Mr. Fisher, November 1968. Mrs. Rayner, August 1970. And Mr. Coons, May 72. These people were not commissioned into the United States Air Force, the U.S. Army, the U.S. Navy, or the U.S. Marines, or as Democrats, or as Republicans. They were commissioned into the most powerful army of yesterday, today, and tomorrow as ambassadors to Christ, along with all the rest of us who have been baptized. You see, we have more power right now than the Abraham Lincoln. Yeah, I lost my place, I'm sorry. Yet we have not been given the authority to use it yet. The source is always there. We just need to be alert and know how and when to ask for it and the amount we need at the moment we need it. Question, how do we do that? We have a training manual right here, and you all have it, that surpasses the ones that keep the sailors aboard the Abraham Lincoln in line. Those sailors train, and train some more to become efficient at their job. What are we doing? Are we reading this training manual every day so that we are efficient ambassadors in Christ's army now? We have to train, and train some more to become efficient and make it into the kingdom. Coming here every Sabbath is not going to be good enough. If that's all we put into our training, the problem is that we have too much glitter. This country has so much that it takes all our time to try to enjoy it. The adversary knows that, and he uses these fun things to bring us under his rule. Therefore, our training manual sits unused somewhere until the next Sabbath. In this manner, we have become a weak link as ambassadors in Christ's army. Let's go back to the Abraham Lincoln. I'm kind of dressed today as the CAG. And I don't know if you know what a CAG is. There's two captains on a ship. The one who runs the ship, and there's a CAG, and he is called the commander of the air group. He is there watching every airplane take off. And he's in the bridge watching every airplane take off and land day and night. The noise, the stress, wondering which one will not make it back aboard ship in one piece. He still has a job to do because they have to train at control crashes every day or the pilots will lose their edge. They have to be ready and precise for real missions when they come. Let me take just a second. Every airplane that's coming into an aircraft carrier, the carrier is headed into the wind and the swells are going like this. And so you're coming down in a flight pattern, trying to land on the back of that deck, and you pray and hope that the back end isn't coming up as you're coming in. And he has four resting cables, and that 8-foot hook has to hit one of them to stop him. The minute both wheels touch the deck, he's at full power, because if he missed the cables, it's the only way he's going to get off and not go in the drink. So you can see how dangerous and how commanding this is. Question, how is that different for us? You see, we need to train every day as well. Not only reading this manual, but on the job training. Our on the job training is how we respond to those around us. Our example will always be noticed. What if we were responsible for a life lost? What if one day someone who knew each one of us, or one of us, that we belong to this church and that we verbally claim to be a confessing Christian, and in anger, we gave this person a tongue lashing of the week. Many decades down the road in the great white throne judgment, this person meets us and says, I remember you and the example you gave, and I don't want any part of it. Now, this is a hypothetical case, but we need to think how important our examples come across to others. I want to commend somebody in here, unfortunately he's not here today, who was a great example for us. He smiles a lot. Sometimes I think it is forced, and if it is, he is in training to always show the right example. You see, it is hard not to be at ease with this type of person. I envy him. If you watch Barry Cortice when he sings up here on stage, his smile makes up for my natural frowny face and gives me the hint to smile too. How about you? Can you imagine Barry on this ship of 5,500 people smiling to 5,499 of them every day? You know, he would make a difference. I'd like to give you one more example of this great ship. While this ship is in progress, which is with all its armada around it, there is at all times an E-2C Hawkeye airplane with an airborne system flying many thousand feet above the carrier. This airplane is the eyes and ears of this armada of ships. The E-2C knows every airplane, every missile coming and going. If it gives the signal of an unidentified incoming to this armada, every sailor in every ship will man their predestined battle stations with the latest technology they possess, looking for incoming. This is what they have been trained night and day for. Their life now depends on what they learn. Those of us who have been commissioned as ambassadors for Christ also have a powerful, powerful airborne system high above us. And I believe he lets us know whenever there is incoming conflict. Fellow brothers and sisters, have we studied this training manual enough to be alert, to be aware, to think about and acknowledge a problem or conflict when it's incoming? You see, our life depends on it. If we have, we can immediately man our battle stations, not with weapons of destruction, but with a soft voice response and a smile, using weapons of peace. This training will give us the faith and trust that God will do the rest. If we study this training manual, we will see how many times God provided miracles to those who totally put their trust in Him. I would like to close with a couple of messages that Paul gave, one to the Ephesians and one to the Philippians. I'm going to be reading from the Complete Jewish Bible, and the first one is in Ephesians 4, 29, 32. And Paul says, let no harmful language come from your mouth, only good words that are helpful in meeting the needs, words that will benefit those who hear them. Don't cause grief to God's Holy Spirit, for He has stamped you as His property until the day of final redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, anger, violent assertiveness, and slander, along with all spitefulness. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, and forgive each other, just as the Messiah has also forgiven you. And the second one is in Philippians 4, starting in verse 6. Don't worry about anything. On the contrary, make your requests known to God by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Then God's peace, passing in all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds safe in union with the Messiah Jesus. In conclusion, brothers, focus your thoughts on what is true, noble, righteous, pure, lovable, or admirable, on some virtue or on something praiseworthy. Keep doing what you have learned and received from me. What you have heard and seen me doing, then God who gives peace will be with you. And we will have peace if we study and meditate using the most powerful training manual ever written.